believe we left with Mr. Blumenthal. And I apologize that not, if you could repeat, do you remember what we were...
Oh, I remember exactly.
Okay.
My perfect memory is that.
Good.
Top of our reserves. My question was, where are, or what is the disposition of the current generation of tires? I'm not talking about the tires that are coming out of the stockpile, but out of the 5.1 million that reportedly produce a year, where are they going now?
Well, the information that I provided is at a pretty summary level on the back page that just differentiates between, it says percent recycled, note that percent, how much of it was used for fuel. You can see that on page 30, the bottom table on the far right there shows that percent fuel is of the recycled. So,
recovered or recycled, Chris?
Recycled should be recovery. Excuse me. No. The percent recycled is of the recovery rate. So if 32% was recycled, 43% of that was in fuel, and 57% of that was other recycling, non-fuel recycling. So you have, but within that percent fuel and percent recycled, there's obviously more than one market. I mean, there's whole tires, there's tire drive fuel, and within the recycling, there's, I mean, we've got at least two people at the table to make different products out of tires. So I didn't, as far as reporting to this committee, the reason I'm passing the buck here is because we get a lot of this information with confidence, you know, that we promised in exchange to the people who are reporting entities confidentiality. And I don't know if the entities at the table who are, most of the people who report significant numbers to us are sitting here, and I didn't want to bring firm-specific data to the table because that's not how we report it. So if they want to share their firm-specific data with you, that's their prerogative, but I don't think it's appropriate for the state to divulge the firm-level information. Part of the provisions of our recycling reporting was that we only release aggregate data, so I'm not trying to hedge here, but I don't think it's really, I can really do that. I can elaborate, the only other thing I could offer, I could elaborate a little bit more on, you know, some of the details of, you know, what is counted and what isn't, but I think it's really, you know, not the most useful information. I mean, there's some, how much goes to, you know, belts and other things that don't end up in the recycling process. There's a larger residual than in some other types of recycling, like newspapers.
At RB Rubber Products, we consume about 35 million pounds a year, and we take in whole tires, a mixture of whole tires and buffings. Presently, all of our use is being generated out of the state, or tires that we pick up. We're not buying chrome rubber from anybody, and we manufacture. Main product is horse stall mats for the equine industry, line of fitness matting products, and playground tops.
Now, you have a collection network as well, or at least a processing center in North Portland.
We have a processing center in North Portland. That takes in whole tires and grinds those into about a 1-inch chip. And that 1-inch chip product is then brought out to McMinnville, where we process it into crumb rubber and then manufacture it in the mats.
I've had the pleasure of a tour at your facility, so I'm impressed with that. I'm just trying to get an idea of the supply network. That's something that I'm a little unclear with. So you've got your own collection, or at least a process?
We do some collection, and then we have major customers that deliver tires to us.
So would it be like Mark Hope's operation?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. We get a substantial amount of tires.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't clear on that. Did you say that most of your tires do not come from the state of Oregon, or come from outside of the state of Oregon?
No, most of the tires do come from the state of Oregon. We do some collection in the state of Washington. in prior years, I've been with the company for just over a year. When I first got there, we were buying not really a crumb rubber, but a fairly large piece from the Canadians. That was probably a quarter of our business. That firm is elected to enter into the asphalt market in California, and so is producing a fine crumb rubber now, and we're able to produce product for less than we can buy from them now, so we're developing our abilities to grind tires and make product.
I just want to interrupt here, and I failed to mention it in the beginning. Particularly for today, if you could kind of identify yourself and then be sure and speak into the microphone. We will be having minutes prepared, so it just helps keep track of our official business that we do in this room. Thank you.
I'm Keith Dolly, and we're much smaller than RB. We go through approximately 3 million pounds a year of crumb rubber, mostly some buffing dust.
And does most of that supply come from within the state?
It has mostly in the years past, but recently we have started buying some crumb rubber out of Canada as a supplement to our supply.
Keith, remind me again, what's the name of the company? Where are you located?
It's Scientific Developments Incorporated. We're located in Eugene, Oregon, and we manufacture the molded rubber products for the traffic safety industry.
Michael, you want
to? I'll let Mark do that when he comes back.
Thank you.
Okay, are we ready to move on to our next? And you kind of, I think I started in that with this last little bit of discussion. I would like to, at this point, start doing some organization for the task force, maybe talk about meeting schedules, work plan of that meeting schedules, or topics that you want to start addressing. I don't know if any of you have had the, you know, thought about it or coming today, but I think we really need to, and I know that as an administrator of this, I need to submit a work plan to the leadership offices that then kind of holds us accountable to our task. But if we could start talking about meeting places, times, and lengths of meetings, dates, you know, do you want to meet monthly? Do you want to meet here all the time? Do you want to go between here and Portland? Or I don't think we'll be able to really go to Mr. Blumenthal's location unless everybody has a trip planned on their own. But
I'd be willing to make a compromise. We can meet in, say, Cincinnati.
Las Vegas.
San Francisco. New Orleans is always good.
Well, and another logistic thing to consider are we can set the room up for conference calls. So even if somebody can't be here, we have all the wiring mechanisms that we can pull up and have a conference call.
We also use this for satellite hookups during the session, so I know that that's a possibility.
Right. So, you know, we have a number of technological ways. If you physically can't be here, but you can still participate and be in attendance. So, who wants to start? I mean, you know, I actually have a couple of packets of calendars that start from November that go all the way to September of next year. We skipped a year. Calendars go to 2003. But I think we can get an idea of what dates we're looking at. All of a sudden, we have no interim. Going right from.
That works for me.
Okay.
Time flies when you're having fun.
So, for like a December meeting,
I would just venture a suggestion and ask what other people think of this, and that is that we begin perhaps our first 6 months meeting monthly and see how far we get as we, what do we have, about 10 months, is it, before this report is really needs to come together, right?
11.
So begin meeting monthly the first 6 months and see after that six-month time frame if people feel we need to step it up or not.
It's going to be a first Friday club here? First Friday of each month?
That's open for discussion also. I mean, most people cringe at a Friday meeting, but in this particular case, this was like the best day of the case that came back. So, if I hear no objection, are we going to take the position that silence is affirmation?
First Friday.
I just have one question. Since Mark is in China, I'm assuming that's not a regular thing. But
he said he thought he might be back.
Okay, good. But and he's a key member, right, you know, for input of this committee, obviously. I'm just wondering, do you have any idea if his availability would?
None.
Okay.
I know he's available, but
yeah,
I can tell you more than that.
Okay.
I will speak up as the one who has to travel for this. I have, if you do decide to go the first Friday of every month, I could actually do that. That would not be a big deal. Yeah, so
okay.
I hope you guys can get down from Portland in time, though. So.
Does it? So that, great. That would be. Is the 6 months, you know, first Friday for the next first 6 months? People comfortable with that?
Good place to start.
Well, you know, I just have to keep them from the three.
Yeah,
well, and before maybe going into the time, it's, you know, I don't think that this is necessarily central for everybody. Do you want to do a rotation, or do you want to?
I'd like to work in a fair number of Portland meetings, at least half of our meetings in Portland. I don't know where the furthest of us besides Michael are coming from, but I think some of us, probably more than half of us, are around Portland.
Eugene, where do you live?
Tom?
Portland.
Portland.
Who? Well, you're Salem, right?
We have a McMahon.
In Portland.
Eric is Vancouver.
Mark's Portland.
Oh. Yeah.
Ben. Keith, Eugene.
Ben, is Portland any harder for you?
Actually, Portland's probably a little easier for me.
Okay.
Rather than Salem, but it's not really that big of a difference at all.
But as long as, I mean, you know, you have, you're definitely greater than 100-mile difference. So.
Right.
I'm about to Albany.
Any particular place in Portland? Do you want to, like, host type of thing, Metro?
I know that Metro has some good meeting rooms that we can certainly make available and have accommodations worked out with you, Sandy, with, you know, whatever stuff we usually need there.
Okay.
So I would certainly volunteer Portland for the first several, or Portland Metro for the first several Portland meetings, and, you know, we can see if we want to change locations to DEQ offices or whatever.
Okay. So a December, January at Metro?
December.
Portland's good. Okay. Well, for you, yeah, if that's where you're flying. So, I'm sorry, you said December 7th was the first Friday?
I believe that's the first, isn't it?
Okay, and I think the first January, like, January 1st is a Tuesday, so then you have
the 4th of January.
Does that work with people being post-holiday?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
first of February is the first Friday.
February 1?
February 1 is on Friday.
And March?
March
1.
March 1, so right.
Also.
There's an e-board meeting on the 1st of February. I don't know if that's going to be an obstacle for you or for anyone else.
I don't. I can always schedule it, and if something comes up for me that there's another committee conflict, it would be further, but thank you. I didn't bring those things down.
So we're talking about what time of the day?
Right, now. And do you want to start looking at full days? I mean, is it more time efficient, and do people have full days to give? I know that was a question that was raised of me in scheduling this one, but I didn't have a real sense of business on what we could schedule all day. So if we want to start going for full days, please.
I've gone through these types of things before, and I think once we actually get into it, I think what you'll find, at least in the beginning, there'll be a lot of presentations, background information. If you bring anybody in, these things, once these things start rolling, there's a lot of information, a lot of discussion. You'll find you can spend a full day very easily. Remember what they did in New York?
Oh, I remember.
Again, I were on a panel like this in New York State, and they're still working on it. But, we are making progress. I think you'll be surprised how quickly a 6-7 hour day goes by.
I was going to say, what do we mean by full? I think 6 hours is.
6 hours with lunch and all that.
Yeah.
With a working lunch. You don't want to let people go far away.
No.
With a working lunch, 6 hours, 6 to 7 hours, and you want to get out before.
So 9 to 3?
Plane doesn't leave until 10 o'clock at night. I can stay until 8.
People have to drive.
Yeah. 9 to 3 sounds good.
Okay. So we're looking at December 7th, 9 to 3. Probably didn't say for January 4th. Or do you want to just kind of keep the time open until after December?
Might be wise to schedule it in at this point.
1-4.
Okay.
Easier to cancel.
2-1.
Just want to keep that the same all the way through to April.
We can always.
Yeah, it's easier to take it off your calendar and just add it later. But
okay, so we keep that 9 to 3 working on
April 4th. Is the next meeting going to be in 6?
Sorry, April 5th.
Is the December meeting scheduled in Portland?
Okay.
Want to do December and January?
I was just going to say, can we just ditto that for the January meeting?
Yeah.
Great. And then maybe, do you want to stay in Portland for February, or do you want to go someplace else? I mean, I don't hear a lot of resistance. If you want to go to DEQ maybe in February?
Our meetings aren't as nice as Metro's. We're going to welcome.
We're in a new and interesting building.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, you should be happy to.
That would be
great.
Far preferable to the Goldilocks room at DEQ.
Office of Sustainable Development in the City of Portland will host February.
Okay.
Great.
Okay. That's the new gray building on 4th, 1904th.
No, it's in the Pearl District on 9th and Irving through the Natural Capital Center, the Eco Trust Center. We're just a tenant there. Yes. Over in Northwest in the.
It's right on the streetcar.
Yeah, and a map.
Just get on the streetcar.
Yep.
It stops right there.
Is that?
We have time. Can we put you down for March then, too? Do you think?
whatever, I'll schedule, we're moving into the building this weekend, so I'll start next week on the schedule and coordinate with you.
Fabulous. It's great. Yeah, we... And maybe April and May come back to Salem? Want to try and do that? Okay. Great. Topics for the December meeting, where I think we'll try and, if I understood correctly, try and get some folks here that have some background to the original program and do some overview of that.
I'd also like to ask, on behalf of Mark, although this is the next item on the agenda, that you wait till that meeting to do the election.
That makes me a little nervous, but that's okay, because I work at the direction of the chair, but I think it will depend. What other... Where do we want to go for the first meeting? I mean, topic one.
Maybe what we want to do is throw some ideas up here, and then we can pare them down. Can you bring that up to the front?
Do you want to... Yeah. If you lift that, yeah, we lose our legs. Background too.
I would propose one thing that they mentioned specifically in here that I am less knowledgeable about would be what programs other states and Canadian provinces look like.
I was just going what I was going to suggest was two. One was we have a lot of detailed information on what other states are doing.
Right.
We have our own one page briefing sheet, we have a document prepared by EPA. And if you visit our website, here comes the button. Visit our website at www.scraptire.org. You can download a 3-page document that lists every state and the details of their state tire program. So you can go to that, you can download it, and then we can do a review of that. I'll bring hard copies with me, along with the EPA document.
Sandy, that would be other state and provincial programs, too, just so we know we're talking about Canada.
And the other thing I would suggest is to give a detailed overview of where the markets are in this country and in Canada, looking back at a historical basis. And just a snapshot in time, I can tell you, I won't have it ready by December, but by the January meeting, I will have a detailed report on the markets in this country. In December, I sit down in my office with a phone attached to my ear, and I call every state, because I'll call you too. I call every state and get all the information on where the tires are going. So for the January meeting, I will have a very current picture of where tires are going, but certainly we can do an overview of where the markets are and how they've gotten there, if the group wishes to hear about that.
Michael, could you give me that website again?
Scraptire.org.
Sandy, one thing that I'd be interested in, and the committee can feel free to mix this, I'd be interested in what's been laid out here. I think that the other state programs and provinces, that's going to be critical for us. But I'd like maybe just a little more information of what we're doing here. And by that, I mean, I know somewhat about what RB is doing, somewhat scientific development, but maybe just a little more discussion. Mark's not here, and so he could fill in, and it may, and I'd offer it to anyone else that they could say, here's what our firm or here's what our agency does in relation to this. And maybe it's too much background, but then I might be able to understand a little better when comments come up later.
So you want a specific what Oregon is currently doing,
mm-hmm.
the Oregon market.
Right. So who we've got at the table, and perhaps some others may present. And I'd request that it be a real synopsis, not a full-blown hour-and-a-half presentation, but at least to... I know you guys would be easy to bring in some products and say, and here it is, and go through it in 5 minutes. I've got a better understanding. And then some of the ones I don't know exactly, their involvement could either choose to give a quick presentation or say next and just pass on.
And then to piggyback on to what Bruce just contributed, I think also... I'd be interested in hearing about known research and development that's either ongoing, as I said, known, or that we know that there may be some need to do research and development in a particular area, and money is lacking or whatever. But whatever the ongoing research and development is, and needed research and development.
Here in Oregon or across the country?
Both.
Current research development.
And needs.
And developing research and development?
I would just say current and potential R&D.
And again, I'd like to just go back to the thing I stated earlier, which is part of our charge here is to look at the economics of this.
And
as I said, we don't even ask in our surveys, those of you who fill them out, we don't ask you how much you paid for it, and it's not something we look at. So I can't, if anyone's looking to us to answer those questions, that's not information that we gather, nor would I really be in a position to share it if I did. So I don't know if any of the people who are at the table could help. I mean, people who are handling these tires and know how much one gets paid or pays to do X or Y with a tire are all sitting here. So I don't know where else. If we want to do this economic analysis, some of that information I think is going to have to come from the people here, because that's the ultimate source of the information. And I don't know what process we could come up with if people would be willing to have that expressed in some aggregate fashion, or what people would be willing to do. But I think I don't know how we can do that piece of the charge we were given by the legislature without that information coming from the people who are actually handling the tires. Whether that's people giving the information to Sandy or to the EQ or somehow condensing it, but that, if I were to be asked to go do that, I'd get on the phone and call all of you. I don't know how else we're going to get there.
Well, and do we, in that economic, do you want to even be more specific than that? And this is where I would need you folks' help. If we were going to have a basic presentation on the economic information data that's out there, is there a clearinghouse, or do we have to have different individuals coming and giving just their slice of the pie?
I just think it would be so helpful if somebody in this group has a specific idea of what really was intended or should be part of that economic analysis, to write up a one-pager, and give it to you or distribute it to the group. This is what I think we should cover, because we could flounder around here talking about it. Well, maybe somebody's got a real clear idea.
Well, I think what would help would be, seems to me that's a part of what we're going to talk about in terms of what other states are doing, that they have to have done some economic analysis, either through an agency or through the private sector or through scrap tire folks. And before you get into that conversation here, I think you ought to look at some models that are in place or that have been done.
So you think it's just a part of what we do as we go along looking at other programs? That's how you view the economic analysis piece?
I do.
I don't know what's out there, so I'd be happy to look at what other states and provinces have done, but it may need...
It would be easy to see what other states... I can get the provincial information from our counterparts up in Canada. They have one. They have a diagram. They have a table. I can get my hands on that. Going to material that we have on our website will not give you the economic data, I think, that you were looking for. I know that California has done a study that looked at some economic impacts. I will go back to my office, and we have files from every state, and some have done economic analyses in their reports. Some haven't. I'm going to have to go through three or four of the bigger states and see if they have done that. Or look at how they have done that.
Right, and I think my point, Michael, is exactly that rather than try to jump to that right now, that you ought to look at what else is out there as an example of how it was done.
You know, what I'll do is I know right offhand I'm going to pull together like three or four fairly good size reports. I will send them to you to make copies so you can get them out to the rest of the group before the meeting in December.
And the reality is, if we even look at, you know, what we've put up there, this can be as simplistic or as ambitious as you want it to be. I mean, if you want to do the previous background discussion, that could take an hour and a half, you know, half of the morning if you want it to, or probably be 15 minutes. So in this topic alone, you probably could make it one full meeting, you know, with some preparation and getting some folks together as well as the documents to discuss it. So I don't know if you want to put this with some of that other, or if it's an overload for the first meeting.
Oh.
Unless you want to keep it simple, you know what I'm saying?
What I see is that I think the economic analysis has to be done relatively early in the process. Otherwise, as Tom says, we're going to end up chasing down paths that aren't necessarily even viable. But I think it's important that we develop a background of what else has been done and other studies that have been performed before we start trying to attempt an economic analysis. Otherwise, I think we run the same risk. We'll shoot down paths that aren't necessarily viable. So I propose it for the third meeting as opposed to the second.
It sounds to me like the next meeting should really be a combination of past and present. That is what Michael said, that he's interested about the history of the last tire program and its results, and then just on the basis of some of our members who are in the business of managing tires, what happens to tires that get into the collection infrastructure? How are they handled? You know, what products, if there's a product made, come out of it? That sort of stuff. Just a good overview of past and present. Michael, the stuff that you're talking about from around the states and in Canada, would you be ready to contribute that?
Yeah, as I'm thinking now what I need to pull together, and we have most of this stuff in one form or another, so I will get back into my office, I will pull it together. I have the studies, I have market studies, I have a couple good studies from states and the background information on different programs, Canada, U.S., which I will pull together, get to Sandy, and she can make copies and distribute those before the December meeting. That I will be prepared to talk about then. And if you have it beforehand, you can look at it or not look at it.
Well, and if we get a couple of, I know DEQ has some folks that have the history with the original program, if we can get them on the docket to do some Q&A, question and answers and things like that, it might be helpful.
I've got my own personal view on that. Was you suggested it could be anywhere from 15 minutes to an hour and a half. Now, you're the one who called for that topic. I'd prefer that it not go be the every little detail hour and a half presentation. I agree.
I'm only recommending it as a
way. I think it's fine to get us going background and get information. I prefer in crafting an agenda, since we're not going to elect a chair today, it sounds like, and that it'd be kind of on the shorter version.
Yeah, I think it can be appropriately condensed history. Kind of a cliff note approach to the last program.
And I would like to, and I'll do some, you know, legislative or task force program background research. There might be a report out there. I can get a copy of the report and mail that to you so everybody's had a chance to review that. And then if we bring some people that worked on it, folks will have some information already available to them. You know, again, that should be archived. But I need to go back a few years to do that. But if that's there, we'll give it to you, and that should help, too, because it helps keep it condensed.
And if I can piggyback on the history end of things, I am interested in understanding what involvement the State Department of Transportation here has had with utilizing rubber from scrap tires for different civil engineering or transportation applications. And I'm also interested in knowing what the main purchasing agency in the state, the main administrative agency, what is it?
DAS.
What, if any, procurement that they have done on retread tires, you know, truck bed liners that I know RB made, that sort of thing. Let's find out, you know, where the state has had some involvement in this issue, if we can. And if not next meeting, when we get around to talking about markets, certainly that would be appropriate, too.
And that actually the state participation probably fits under the Oregon-specific market status, because they can tell you, you know, maybe their piece of how, you know, their involvement is with the market. I mean, because that was up as a subheading under the other state program part.
I guess I just wanted to get a little bit of clarity, whatever information is expected from DEQ. So I've heard of different versions of how much history we want. And I think that the report that Doug referred to in the legislative history that Sandy can access probably most easily being here in the Capitol, I would leave to those to provide. And what I provided is sort of the nitty-gritty level of detail of exactly what we did with the money and how many tires got recycled. If there's more information that people want from my agency, it helps me to know more specifically what that is.
I think it would be useful to hear from people involved with regard to what worked and what didn't. I mean, if there are those kinds of lessons learned sorts of things came out of that experience, you're not likely to find it in the quantitative information.
Right. I agree.
So you do want a couple of people that were
some history of folks who were involved in the program. So I know that Mark can talk about it from his perspective.
Well, the other question I'd have along those lines is for input from tire retailers to get that inputted just in terms of their experience with that previous program, and obviously they're going to be involved in any thing that comes down the line on this, so to get input where appropriate on the background piece would be the starting point.
tell you, Summit, that's exactly the conversation that Dick Nordness and I just had. And his concern was that there weren't any tire dealers on the dashboard. And I explained it that, you know, names were submitted by various groups. So, you know, Karen maybe Mark about that, but Dick offered to come back and talk about what his dealers do now and what they've done in the past. So that might, you know, put him on the show.
Is Hodel, the gentleman who's unable to attend today, Northwest Tire Factory Group?
They're retailers, aren't they? Tire Factory?
Sure. Yes.
Sorry.
So he'd be one.
Yeah. I knew we weren't constituted with no representative from tire dealers, although, you know, I don't understand why Les Schwab doesn't have a representative on this body, but I knew we had somebody. So he's just not here today, huh?
Mm-hmm. One other piece, I don't know if this is included in what other people have talked about, but I think for those who aren't in the tire business, it's helpful just to have, again, an Oregon-specific how it actually works. I mean, the fact that if you're a consumer and you go buy new tires, some places will charge you money to take them, some take them for free. I mean, it would be nice to have that basic information at the consumer level when you take your tires in. Is that built into the price of buying new tires? Do you have to pay a fee? A lot of people think that we still charge a fee because there's something called a tire recycling fee. People think it goes to the government, but in fact it doesn't. And then how much, I mean, for the disposal operators, public and private, I mean, it's not a secret, I don't think, how much you charge people if they want to get rid of the tire, right? I mean, I think that kind of basic program information might be helpful. And I know most landfills have a per tire fee that they charge if you want to bring one in. I don't know if the processors are willing to talk about, anything about what, you know, whether you charge or people pay for material. I think that might be helpful, too, to understand. I think the national market may be different than the local market. I mean, you're not going to transport tires from here to Kentucky, probably.
No, and the one thing that, as a trade association, we can't track prices. Costs just offer this to us. But I can tell you prices vary from area to area. And there are a lot of different functions of what will constitute the price. But basically, it comes down to supply and demand, and bottom line is the stronger the market infrastructure, the better the markets for tires. Typically, the lower the tip fee is, and that works its way up the food chain. So, but it varies depending on where you are, how far you have to travel, all kinds of things. So there is no consistency out there.
Chris, you just said, you know, you're not going to haul tires all over the place, but the Canadian programs have, through their fee collection and subsidy of the programs, both these firms have indicated they've gotten some supply from there. So there's something going on in terms of the economics that I have a real low-level understanding of, but that's clearly playing into what's going on here.
The transportation cost is different before the tire, in whole tires, and in the raw material. There's a big difference between hauling whole tires that distance than the finished product, the raw material.
Do we want to confirm what we will be talking about?
There we go.
Next month?
Yep.
Because I can guarantee you have more than a full day.
I think we do.
My side just needs some 955.
If we go with the background of the Oregon program and then go with the programs from other states and provinces, I'm in agreement with you. I think that's more than a full day, because there are going to be economic topics that are going to come up in that discussion, and we probably will have to skip lightly over those and put those on for the next, I would assume, because that could be a whole day in itself.
And at least it'll give you an opportunity to identify what specific economics, plus it gives everybody time to gather people and the documentation so that you can
did further. John, were you, when you spoke up, were you including not only the background piece that we've been talking about, a little bit of history, but also the present status of tire management in Oregon, and then what's going on in other states. See, I think that's probably too much for 6 hours.
You think?
I think it. We certainly wouldn't get through all the state and provincial information.
I hadn't planned on going to each and
every. Yeah, I would not.
I would so much.
Minimal amount of material.
Yeah.
You know, a representative.
Yeah. From the few
cross section would be.
But I would like to make sure that we take a good long look at what's going on in Oregon at present, so that our members who have operations there, I'd be very interested in hearing some detail about them. So that's why I'm saying I have some doubt that we could get through other states and provinces in addition to those first two items. We might be able to get started on it, but that would probably carry over.
No, I would agree. I fully assume that Michael is going to bring us reams of material.
I'm not going to overwhelm, but basically, I hadn't really planned on discussing all 50 states.
Well, we don't want to hear from you that much, Mike.
And I'm sure everybody shares that also as well. But to just do an overview of the different types of programs that are out there was what I pretty much figured on doing.
Are the programs like rated? I mean, could you do the ones that like are a 4-star program?
Well, I get in trouble.
Yeah, right.
I did that one at a BioCycle conference, and I got two types of comments. Gee, that was great. That's real brave of you. And then the people from the state came and cursed me out because their state was So I've gotten away from publicly.
No priority.
There's Oregon, and then there's Seattle, Portland.
keep in mind, this was back in 1992, and what we used to say about Oregon was the tire program in Oregon was designed to work for the state of Oregon, plain and simple. And that's we are leaving it at that.
I have a question as far as. Or what Janet was just talking about as far as Oregon's specific market status and what's going on in Oregon. I mean, what are you expecting? How detailed and what are you expecting to get? Do you want Les Schwab to talk about how many tires they're doing, where they're taking them, what they're doing?
It's not so much the collection infrastructure that I'm interested in. If Schwab has a role in the ultimate disposition of tires, I would certainly like to know what Les Schwab is doing with the tires that it takes from its stores to some ultimate resting place. Sure, that's the part that I'm interested in getting the picture of Oregon today. I want to know from the RB Rubbers and from others, Mark Hope's operation, for example, what the disposition of the tires that they manage tends to be, product or otherwise, but what are the barriers, the constraints that they're facing today? And, that kind of stuff, I think, will give us as a body some fuel to work within our future deliberations. If we know what the problems are for the people that are presently in the business, then that gives us some direction.
I agree, and what I was trying to get to then is, do we need to ask Les Schwab to present something if they are willing to, or the tire factory, Northwest Tire Factory Group, what they're doing with their tires? There are other carriers that are around the state. Do we need to bring in some more of these? I mean, DEQ has a list of carriers and processors and storage sites of people in Oregon that are having anything to do with tires. Do we need to bring in a representative sample more than what is here now to find that out? I guess that's my question. Do we want to get that specific? Are we able to do that even?
think that with the people that are here, if you include the audience, you've got most, again, I would argue that if we could find out if the people that are in the room, whether in audience or table, if we had that information, we'd have a pretty good idea. I mean, based on the numbers that I've seen, there are some other people who collect large amounts of tariffs, where they ultimately end up, people are in the room that represent them. And I guess just to expand a little more on what Jan said, what I think is interesting is what is it that determines where a tire goes? Because is it that the market is saturated? In other words, those of you that are going to use it for energy or for new products, are you maxed out at your capacity? I mean, it's interesting to me that we both have tires going to landfills in Oregon and people using tires, importing tires from somewhere else. As an economist, that's kind of odd to me that, you know, you've got tires right here that are going to landfill in large quantities, but you also have recyclers that are having to go beyond the state's borders to fill their needs. That would, the economics of that, to me, would be interesting to understand. And also, from what little I know, having gone out and visited some of these facilities, certain categories of tires have more uses or more value in commerce than others. And the trends historically on that, as I understand it, there's been an evolution of, you know, what how tires are manufactured and what you can do with them at the end of life. It depends on whether it's an agricultural tire or a truck tire or a passenger tire and how used it is at the end of its life. I mean, some of that basic information I think would be helpful to those who are, maybe Mark would be a good person to talk about that. He processes tires for a lot of different uses.
Right.
Is that the kind of information you're talking about? I mean, for me, that's really helpful.
Could we volunteer perhaps a couple people who aren't here? Mark Hope, and as Doug suggested, Dick, is it Nordness? And I'm not sure who else, if others want to volunteer, but to just prepare a brief presentation of how the system works from retailer to collection to processing or disposal, and laying out just some of the, not only mechanics of what goes on, but also, as was requested, some of the barriers to moving some more to the recovery side versus disposal. Would that be something that...
I'm sure that Mark could do that, but I don't know if I want to commit him to the next meeting for that, considering that he's not going to be in the country for probably another 10 days to 2 weeks. So
he could probably rattle it off.
He probably could.
I mean, he's...
But I'm not going to make...
I think we can get a couple of other folks that can, and then if Mark wants to be added on, you know, maybe upon his return and we have a chance to talk to him, we can certainly put him on, you know, as part of the panel and the discussion topic. I mean, and I can certainly facilitate that and, you know, either talk to different folks independently and get a sense and then, you know, do the draft agenda and have everybody look at it and you'll get a sense of how it will be laid out. Because I think all of this, all of the topics that we'll put on, there will be specific people that will start the discussion about it. It's not, you know, whether they provide the materials ahead of time or bring it with them. I'll be asking them to do, you know, like mini presentations. So we should have some names and faces as well as reading the paper. So, again, just to review what the next schedule would be, we want to do previous program overview, not an hour and a half, but probably about 30 minutes just to lay some groundwork, and then go into current Oregon, what Oregon is currently doing, and we'll have some folks speak to that. Hopefully within that topic, they'll discuss barriers, you know, hurdles, things that are really difficult for them, bring in some of the tire folks. And maybe even, you know, any other, if anybody has, even in a week, if you think of somebody or in your travels, you discover, call me and say, I think this would be, you know, this fits with what we want to do in December. So by all means, you know, share that. And the market, current market in Oregon, as well as the status of those markets, like Chris outlined, and then to start talking about other state programs that Michael will be providing us with some information, and then we'll go into an overview of that. Start, and whatever we don't get, you know, wherever we stop, we'll carry over until the next meeting. But at least we'll have some of the information available, and we'll start the discussion.
You also want to let the chair and vice chair.
Right. that I apologize, that was just automatic over thing to me, so yeah, but that will be on, and that'll probably be first, because in reality, your chair will be doing kind of this, they will be the one kind of, you know, massaging where the topics are going and how they build on each other. I don't see it being total, you know, group consensus on that. So,
what is the duties of the chair and the vice chair?
They call the meeting to order. They decide, you know, they'll technically they should have, you know, kind of put out a proposed meeting schedule. Mm-hmm. You know, them once a month, every 2 weeks. They're the leaders. They generally they'll set the tone of what agenda items, how they want these directives to unfold. It's an open process generally, but they're the ones that are the spearhead, and they too are kind of the representative of the task force that in situations of being spokesperson or whatever, it's usually the chair. Vice chair is there just in the absence of a chair. There's not a separate duty. It's just that if the chair is unable to chair a meeting, the vice chair is the one to do that. They keep it, you know, they set the ground rules, which kind of will segue into the proposed rules. What I shared with you are basic legislative task force or interim committee rules. I know that probably some of the work groups that you folks have been involved with in the past, the ground rules of a group are a little different. The ground rules for this type of a task force are set by Mason. The legislative parliamentary, you know, document is a Mason's manual. The bill is very specific. It's where some committees it's just a majority vote. This one is very specific. It's more than a majority. It's requiring nine votes for any action. Actions would be anything that the task force needed to vote on. Most of the time, task forces will do votes for their recommendations. So where it says when a task force makes a recommendation, that's something that you have to put in a motion form and, you know, then either do a roll call vote or consensus vote, but you at least need nine members to do that. And then at that point, we also, when the task force starts taking official action, we need to notify that at that moment or that specific period of that task force meeting, it would then be classified as a work session. Anytime that it's a public hearing type of thing, we fall under public meetings and public record laws, so we have to notify the public when there's going to be a work session versus when there's going to be just a public hearing. So whenever there's anything potentially that the task force has to take a vote on or official action, other than this electing your chair or vice chair, it's on the agenda. It's not identified as a work session, but it does require official action. But when it comes down to the recommendations, we will modify it that at that particular moment. It will be a work session in your chair, you know, gavels you into that. I know that's really brief and probably vague. That's what I can do right now. Because every chair is a little bit different, and it's really hard to try and cast away. Mm-hmm. But do you have a sense?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's helpful if the chair can try to propose resolutions to discussions. I mean, at some point, you've talked around an issue for a while, and somebody's got to say, okay.
They keep the group moving. You know, they try and...
Yeah. And you formulate, you know, at call for a motion or formulate a motion of their own, mm-hmm. And the group can try to bring closure to a discussion.
And at the time of your elections, you may want to openly discuss how each of you feel about the discussion format that you want to conduct yourself in as a task force. Like I said, we would revert to Mason's if there was ever, you know, an awkward situation. But by all means, you folks can identify how you want to conduct yourself as a task force so that everybody knows what's acceptable, you know, in this forum and what isn't. Were there any questions about the proposed rules? And again, if we wanted to make any changes, now would be the time to do it so that we can make those proposed changes and then submit them at the next meeting. And you can adopt these rules today. I mean, you have your nine members. So if that's something you want to do, or if you want to wait until you have a chair and then do it. And I do want to point out, too, that if in some of these topics you want to go into, like, small work groups outside of the structured meeting time, you folks can do that. And it doesn't necessarily have to be identified as a subcommittee, but, you know, you can certainly do work outside of the structured meeting time to fulfill your objective.
Well, these rules look pretty basic to me. I would make a motion that we adopt these rules at this meeting.
Did everybody hear that? We had a motion to adopt and a second.
A second.
No, I'm sorry, Chris.
Oh, okay.
So. I guess I would have to say, are there any objections?
Just a clarification. There's a discussion on the quorum of a majority of members, but at the same time, we can't take official action unless we have nine affirmative votes. Mm-hmm. So we could find ourselves not being able to take action even though we do have a quorum.
Right. Exactly.
That's in the law that was passed.
Right.
So.
I just wanted to clarify that.
Exactly. You're right.
Probably highlights the importance of things like teleconferencing and so on to bring members into a meeting. They can't make.
And you've definitely, I mean, we have done that in the past four work sessions where they can't be there, but, you know, they want to vote. So at that particular moment when it's scheduled to go into a work session, we dial them up. And then they vote, et cetera, et cetera. And just for clarification, it's not identified in the rules, but it is kind of a understood there are no proxy votes. The task force.
So does that mean that, for today example, Don could not vote? Okay.
He can participate and he can be a representative and he can speak for that. Paul is with, but he would not be logical.
Well, do we have a quorum then with
we
the
have
two?
You have nine without the two.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the without Mr. Severs and without Mr. Overton.
This is my last.
Okay, so these are adopted rules. See, this is still very weird for me. Because
sorry, have we had a vote?
Do this with
us. I think we need to just
we
have
need
the
to
official. Do you want a roll call
all
vote?
All of us in favor.
Oh.
Okay. It was unanimous.
Got to make it feel like we're doing something. Right?
Want to go for public comment, but I think everybody's been pretty fluid with allowing folks to come to the table. Great.
One topic that just occurred to me that I think we don't want to lose sight of. I don't know whether it's going to be important or how important it is, but I think we need to define whether geography and logistics are important to either the generation of tires or the use. You know, it's a pretty small state, and we have a very efficient transportation system and so on, but I think we need to define whether transportation and geography becomes a barrier to use of a particular time. That's kind of a thread that might follow through our various discussions.
I'm sorry, transportation and...
Transportation and geography.
Anything else that you folks want to talk about today?
I have one question I have to ask the group. I just looked at my travel schedule. I know, but it's always a flying dream. In February, I would
ask if we could do it on the 8th as opposed to the 1st, if I have a conflict that week, if that's possible. The only one time. She has a conflict also, right? Right, Doug? She has a conflict on the 1st?
There is an e-board meeting. If I'm in.
Obviously, arrangements could be made, but it'd be cheaper, easier if you could do it on the 8th. And that's the only one I will ask for, I promise. At least right now.
At least right now.
If that goes here to the group.
Was it okay? Okay, so February would be on the 8th, not the 1st. We're looking at March 1st. I actually have accurate calendars. April 5th is the first Friday, and May 3rd. Okay. Well, we're ahead of schedule. This is good. This is very impressive.
Sandy,
I hate to adjourn it, but are you guys ready to adjourn?
Sandy, for you and Patricia, do we have contact information for you on something else that was sent to us previously?
It's right on this.
Well, we're on the agenda.
You're on the letterhead for
We are on the letterhead. That's my number. Also, the original packet that you got from the business office,
yeah.
My name and number was on that, the bottom of the roster with everybody else's information.
Okay.
But since I've gotten additional information, email, phone numbers, cell numbers, et cetera, I'm going to email that to everybody with an attachment, so you will have an updated roster. And on that one, I have both self-employed information on it also. So feel free.
And I'll have updated information on what mine is, so don't send it out too quickly.
Your address is changing.
Well, and my email. So.
But I can at least send this to you, but I won't include this address on what I send.
I'll get it back to you right away.
Great, and then we'll send a revised one out whenever I get it. Okay. We're adjourned. Thank you.